their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado, this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast, once again from home. How are you doing, Rick?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
I mean, we're still wearing pants, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just checking, you know, these things.
Yeah. Podcast. No. Especially if you include sweatpants. It's part of that definition.
Those are part, you know, technically pants, yeah.
I think so.
How are things going? You were out a bit. I mean, when I say out, I mean you were... You went and did some photography, right?
Yeah. I've been trying to.
Yeah.
But one of the things I did recently was I went out a little ways into eastern Colorado, you know, rural areas and stuff.
Where we've been in the past.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And there's some little towns out that way that are fun to photograph, interesting older buildings, you know, that are abandoned in a lot of cases. And I was doing infrared photography. So nice. It was just fun. No one around. No concerns about social distancing or anything. Just quiet. It was nice.
Very cool. Well, and I like doing that too. And in fact, that's kind of what our topic is going to be about today, right? Which is photographing. I wouldn't necessarily say abandoned things, although that's part of it, but it's more of that old sort of decrepit decay, urban or otherwise. You know, just things that are falling apart. There's so many good things, depending on where you live, that can be great photographic subjects. So I think that would be a great topic for today.
I think so.
So, you know, we've both done this, and there's, you know, depending on where you're at, you're going to have different varieties of things. Like, for example, on the East Coast of the U.S., there's just so many older buildings anyway, just because of the, you know, those areas were built up first, you know, those industrial buildings and things. And there's places you can go and visit. And we should point out, we're not advocating for our listeners to go trespassing on stuff.
Right? No. That's not the point.
We're not talking about, you know, There's this whole genre of urban exploration where people try to go into places that are otherwise off limits. And while it's totally fascinating, we don't condone that.
No.
Here on the Image Doctors.
And similarly, like with the areas I was in, I didn't hop fences. You know, I was careful about no trespassing signs. You know, it's good to be conscious of that stuff. You don't want to do things that get people upset with photographers and eventually result in no photography signs or zones or things like that.
Right. Right. And, you know, and there's a lot of places that you can go in. A good example was way, you know, I realize now this was like, 9 years ago that when we went out to, Pennsylvania to shoot with, Tony Sweet, and we met up with Bob Crist, and we shot at the Eastern State Penitentiary. Fabulous, and you know, old prison, very much in decay. And if you do it right, I mean, they charge you a little extra to use a tripod. But if places that do that, it's worth it because the fees go to keep them upkeep of the, you know, to keep the decay in a relatively consistent state. Decay. Yeah, exactly. And then it also, you know, keeps the crowds down. And some places you can ask, you know, can you go in there? If you, cause we did a thing where we all paid extra and got private time, private tour, basically in places that wouldn't have been open to the general public on the regular tours. And that, there is nothing wrong with that, and it's actually a really good thing to do. It supports those places, it keeps them open and surviving. Some places you just come across. So, I mean, your point where you were out, I know more or less where you were driving out, out in eastern Colorado. There's just a lot of old towns where they're just in various states of I don't want to say decay, but there's some stuff that's just old buildings that are sort of abandoned or just broken things, and old junkyards, old cars. These are all great subjects for, I mean, you can't ever have too many photos of rusty cars, in my opinion. I don't know. I was looking through some of my shots. I'm like, wow, I have a lot of those.
Yeah. Yeah. They are fun. And I think one thing that is worthwhile talking about is, you know, you can photograph this kind of subject all different scales. It could, you know, like there were some things I was photographing the other week where they were, you know, big grain processing buildings, mm-hmm. you know, right along the railroad or former railroad. And in other cases, you know, you can photograph something that's small, you know, with a macro lens, you know, right. rusted components or, you know, a hood ornament on one of your old cars, like you were talking about. So mm-hmm. you can vary that tremendously just depending on where you are and what your mood is. And, you know, so it's a pretty rich subject environment.
Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, you bring up a good point too, because one of the things I did in the past was I did a workshop out in Georgia, an amazing junkyard called Old Car City. And you can go in there and there's a small fee to get in if you want to use your tripod. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. It's only open a few days a week, so you got to check ahead. But it's like 40 acres of just cars. I mean, mm-hmm. going back to the 30s. So there's stuff all the way from the 30s and then all the way through newer, you know, into the 80s and such. But when you get into a place like that, the scale is so difficult. It's so overwhelming that it's actually easier there to photograph with a macro lens than it is with something like a wide angle, because you've got so many cars together that you're in. There's trees, it's forest, you know, pine forest. And it was very hard to try to use a lens and capture the scale of the place. Mm-hmm. And so when I went there the very first time, and it was Eric Bowles from Nikonians who showed me the place, because he lives near there in Atlanta. And I quickly realized it needed to be a macro workshop or a close-up workshop. And that's what we did. Because otherwise, it was just overwhelming. So it was all about rust. It was all about lichens and stuff growing on chrome and hood ornaments. And, you know, and when I say macro, I don't necessarily mean like, you know, super close-up macro, but just tight compositions of right. parts of the cars, rather than trying to get the entire car in the frame. It's just too hard otherwise. Yeah. And you'll get exhausted trying to do that. Compositionally, you'll just get exhausted.
Yeah.
But the great thing about the subject is just anything does work. So this is not a very gear dependent subject matter, is it?
No. And one of the beauties of it is it can be done with minimal equipment. You know, a low cost camera and a kit lens, a phone, you know, or you know, the very best camera that you have. Mm-hmm. All can work fine, but it's one of those things that can be kind of relaxing because you don't necessarily need a lot of stuff. Even a tripod, you know, while it's often handy, not necessarily required, just depending on what you're shooting.
So do you find when you're out there, I mean, do you struggle with trying to find unique compositions? Because I think that's the thing with these kinds of subjects. You know, it's one thing to take a picture of the building, but a lot of times they're not. You know, there's always an element that creates problems for me when I'm out there, like power lines. There's always the old mm-hmm. power lines going through the shots, or sometimes the cars or the buildings are just too close together. And so you can't get the wide shot. You can't always get interiors, although sometimes you can poke through windows.
And sometimes fence lines keeps you from getting in the right spot too, you know, and being good about not trespassing. It can be challenging, and you know, I don't know if it's true for you, but I one of the things that I find I have to avoid is taking the same composition, you know, yes. my favorites. Like right. I love Doors.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, that's okay.
Doors are great. You know, but you can only have so many photos of doors, whether they're closed or open or whatever. But the thing I find is I just have to make sure that I'm mixing in at least some new shots. It could be a new subject, but if I'm taking the same kind of shot that I have elsewhere, it's not really going to look very new. So I think it's good to try to go for unusual compositions or lighting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things too is, you know, varying up whether you're shooting color, black and white, infrared, like I was doing, that can help a little bit too.
Right.
And just giving a different look. And like we've talked about before, shooting black and white or infrared can take you more into the midday kind of lighting and can work quite well with some of these subjects. It just depends.
Right.
You know, but especially if you're going tight.
Yeah. And if you can get inside, which is sometimes a possibility, you know, that's a place where if you do have something on the super wide range, you can have some fun with perspective because you can try weird angle, you know, get low, look up, you know, not everything should be an eye level shot, in other words. And you can also do some fun stuff inside by, if you don't have a wide lens, or even if you do, doing stitched panos. Mm-hmm. That can be a really cool thing, especially now because stitching panos is so easy to do. I mean, you don't need to be perfectly aligned. You know, you don't need the fancy panoramic equipment that we might have used in the past. But those wild, like, down a hallway, a 360-degree pano where you can look both ways in the same shot. Mm-hmm. Those can be fun compositions. So stuff like that, because I find interiors can be very difficult to compose right, just because you can't get the whole thing in your shot. So you got to pick something.
Yeah.
But leading lines like floorboards, leading lines to windows, you know, keeping in mind that exposure in these unlit places can be really challenging simply because they're not lit. So all the light is coming in from the windows. So every shot sort of becomes a backlit shot if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Windows tend to blow out. I mean, I've certainly used HDR in those situations.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that, you know, I've run into a lot with the interiors is, in addition to the windows, the walls may not really be opaque either, you know, because of, you know, the construction being old, boards splitting apart. You end up with all sorts of gaps and light streaming in from multiple spots, which can be challenging or it can be a good part of your subject. Mm-hmm. Like there was one that I was photographing. It was in between Taos and Santa Fe on the high road. You've probably been on that road.
I think so, yeah.
Little towns that are kind of cool along the way. And there was one, I can't remember which town it was, but there was a old decrepit building. So of course I had to stop and get out, and right. I couldn't go in, but I can't remember if I was able to look in through a window or a portion of a door, something like that. But I was able to get in there. And what was cool is, in addition to the decayed interior, and there were still some things in there, so it wasn't just a bare room. There was light streaming in through some of the cracks in the walls and stuff. And doing an HDR shot worked out really well. I was able to hold, you know, all the light values, but I had these really cool light beams coming in. Oh, cool. It was kind of dusty. Yeah. So the dust was, you know, creating.
I'm thinking slot candy almost.
Yeah. Yeah. In a way.
Kind of like that shot.
It was fun.
Yeah. Very cool.
So HDR is definitely useful at times in those situations.
Well, that's really great. You know, and one thing we mentioned too, and you touched on it very briefly, you know, when we were talking about anything goes with equipment. I mean, we've both used our phones for this kind of photography.
Oh God, yeah.
and it works really great. And one of the things that's fun about that is with this kind of photography, it really lends itself to some creative post-processing. So when you're talking about HDR, you were talking about it from the exposure concept, you know, retaining all the values. But of course, with that, you can get into the territory of more of extreme processing. You know, not everything has to be wild, but this kind of subject matter, depending on, really works well with techniques that enhance shadows and textures. Mm-hmm. And brings out the textures, color and black and white, either one goes.
Right.
And I find that some tools that enhance those textures can be extremely useful. And usually that has me finding myself using something like the tonal contrast plugins for color effects, mm-hmm. Structure in the NYX Viveza or in the Silver Effects for black and white, the detail extractor filter also in color.
I was just going to mention that one too.
I think Topaz has some enhancement filters as well, but anything that brings out textures, and I use those plugins because even though there's tools like Clarity and Texture over in Lightroom, I don't find them to bring out the larger details in the way that I like, in the same manner. They tend to do things with the black points that I'm not always happy with. But then, you know, that bleach bypass kind of look where you desaturate and everything's high contrast, that's a good look for this kind of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned infrared, which is also cool, right? Because depending on the subject, in infrared, which tends to be towards the monochrome side of the processing spectrum, if you will, can be a neat look. It just kind of depends on the subject, of course. Not everything works. Infrared's really great for the outdoor shots where you want to have dramatic skies or clouds or if there's trees and you want the trees, the leaves to, you know, just infrared interiors aren't always anything special. You just have to play around with it.
Yeah, you'll often just get a very flat looking image.
So but yeah, it's a great subject. So we're always looking for places to shoot. They can be a little bit tricky around here sometimes, because out west is not as old, or the things that are old are really gone. They're really decayed. There's a lot of old mining places that are wood construction, and they're just kind of piles of timber now. They're not.
Yeah, quite they're kind of going quickly, but fortunately, we still have a number of them. You know, up in the mountains mainly.
Right,
and some then, ghost you know, towns. Yeah, but, you know, the small towns that we were talking about, a lot of them haven't done all that well economically, so they're just older homes and stores and things that are more or less abandoned at this point. And you mentioned the cars and stuff. You know, depending on where you are in the world, you know, if you can get to some of the industrial age factories and stuff, if some of those are still around and mm-hmm. allow photographers in there, those can be really, really cool.
I've seen some wonderful photos on my Instagram, or, you know, not my Instagram, but browsing Instagram, from some stuff like that near, Buffalo, New York, mm-hmm. Rochester, those areas are amazing. 'Cause a lot of that was where the industrial revolution kind of happened. Well, not revolution, but the industrial America, you know, all those steel mills and things. And you know, ironically, a lot of these places are being, quote, renovated now and revitalized. So you lose.
Yeah. We've run onto that a few times with some of our favorite shooting locations. Haven't gotten prettied up too much.
They restored them, and it's like, no.
Oh, bad idea.
Oh, well.
The craziest, well, not, I don't know. An interesting one I've seen, I don't know if you've seen photos from it, is Chernobyl, that area.
I've seen some, yes.
Where they'll, let in small groups, people, mm-hmm. just for short periods of time because of the environmental hazards, including radioactivity.
Yeah, minor detail, but, you know.
But it's pretty eerie and pretty cool. The only problem is you end up seeing a lot of the same shots because of right. where they take people and stuff. But that's a pretty interesting one. The other category of thing that can be interesting is old military facilities, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in the U.S., you know, coastal batteries, you know, out yes. there in California, Washington, Oregon. Those are the Virginia. Ones I'm most familiar with. Yeah,
there's one in Hampton, Virginia that I actually photographed. There's a big shore battery,
mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. you
know, a big gun right there. I did a workshop there once and we took our people there.
Yeah, and I've seen cool shots of former submarine pens in differing parts of Europe that are pretty interesting. So, you know, they're out there. You know, and like I said, just factor in the scale thing. If you don't have things that are big, shoot small.
Right.
I think that's do a lot of creative things.
Well, we would love to hear if you found a cool sort of decay, old, any kind of urban or suburban or whatever, industrial, we'd love to hear from you.
Especially if it's close to us and we can get to it easily.
Exactly. We can drive there. So if you've got a suggestion for us, leave some feedback for us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. We'd love to hear from you. And I don't have anything else for this week. So we hope everyone is still staying safe and staying healthy and, you know, hang in there, everyone, and keep shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.